I'm Bill Littlefield. It's been a month since the closing ceremonies in Rio, but the Olympics are still in the news, and that's because another city has said no to the opportunity to host the 2024 Games, and that's where we will start this week's three stories you should know. My guests this time around are Patrick Ruby of Vice Sports via Skype and Cindy Boren of The Washington Post. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you.
Always great to be here.
Patrick, tell me about this city that has said, as I understand it, no grazie to the IOC.
So this week, the mayor of Rome, Virginia Raggi, she publicly rejected the city's bid for the 2024 Summer Games and said it would be irresponsible for Rome to bid on the event, given the long history of massive government overspending on the Olympics and her own struggles to repair and restore some of the basic civil services in Rome. To this, I can only say one thing. Bravo. Cities and countries throw away billions of dollars essentially to put on a three-week reality TV show. And they commit all sorts of icky human rights violations in the process. So you really double up there. And on the back end, you get nothing to show for it except a bunch of rotting, useless sports stadiums, you know, the occasional boondoggle public transportation project, and a big pile of public debt. A lot of cities like Rome are starting to wake up to this. The bad news is that this isn't actually pressuring the International Olympic Committee to, you know, lessen the demands they place on host cities or maybe even, God forbid, pay for some of this themselves. Instead, you see the Olympics going to image-conscious, authoritarian regimes, places like Russia and China.
All right, Patrick, I just want to say that some of those human rights violations were a good deal more serious than icky.
Yeah, I was trying to imagine human rights violations that weren't actually icky, and I couldn't come up with one.
I don't blame you.
God, the two editors here
today. I know, we're just killing you, aren't we? But in all seriousness, the bottom line with the Olympics is it's a TV event. And like a set right behind the facade, there's a lot of, to use your word, icky stuff going on. We saw that in Rio all the time. You didn't see it on TV very often, but our reporters, as they were walking to the different venues, were walking past open sewers, giant, running, gross, disgusting open sewers, really had to kind of cover their faces to be able to breathe. You know, at some point, you just have to say, where are people's priorities here?
I think I feel compelled to say on behalf of the TV show, it is a great spectacle. And at its best, the Olympics does, in fact, give us something, many things, to cheer about. But I agree with you. And I wonder if what you're talking about is perhaps moving us closer to the time when we're going to get a permanent site.
I'm stunned to find out that you're a cockeyed optimist, though.
Cindy, you're keeping tabs on NFL uniform rules, and as I understand, that means reading at least 9 pages in the NFL rulebook. But bring us up to date on the NFL uniform rules, please.
Well, you'll recall that the opening of the NFL season, the opening Sunday, happened to coincide with the 15th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks. And several players, about a half dozen, chose to wear shoes that were garishly patriotic. I mean, they were really bright and they were really cool. And it was really a good instinct that they had to wear those. And of course, the NFL does not like that because they want their uniforms to be uniform. And the NFL has generously said it will not fine these players for wearing their patriotic shoes. The NFL is considering whether to allow players on one week, you know, week 13, when probably half of the teams are kind of playing out the string. They may allow players to wear freely whatever they wish, as long as they have prior approval. The NFL is trying to get its arms around this optically, but they also want to control it because it's the NFL. And, you know, you don't want to go too far. You may not have noticed this, but they're incredibly conservative.
First of all, look, we should always remember this is the same NFL that until recently was charging the military for patriotic displays. The NFL is it's pretty authoritarian. Let's not mince words about it. And I think in some ways that's also what fans of the NFL like. They sort of like the idea of players being put into their place, you know, so the quote-unquote the infantry man following orders. I mean, that's kind of football culture. That's the culture. That's the fantasy. I mean, I think it's one of the reasons why fans get so bent out of shape when players stand out.
Well, it strikes me as curious that the players have to be acting as soldiers, everybody doing their part and working together as a unit, and yet they can't put on patriotic shoes, which you would think would
exactly
be something soldiers might do from time
and
to time.
I think someone at the NFL said, let's just back off here. You know, it would have looked ugly. It really would have.
And you know what? You might see more of that in the future if the NFL can figure out a way to make money off of it.
My story this week is also set in the NFL. According to 1,100 citizens who were recently polled by ePoll Marketing Research, Colin Kaepernick is the most disliked player in the NFL. Now, for the record, Kaepernick's offense was electing to sit or kneel rather than stand while they were playing the national anthem. Kaepernick is more disliked than Ben Roethlisberger, who was suspended several years ago after accusations that he had sexually assaulted a woman in a Georgia nightclub. Kaepernick is more disliked than Jameis Winston, allegedly a rapist, demonstrably a thief, and a guy dumb enough to shoot at squirrels with a pellet gun in a residential area and shout expletives in a cafeteria full of students. Maybe the 1,100 citizens who were polled are unrepresentative. Maybe they don't remember anything that hasn't happened within the past couple of weeks. And if so, perhaps I shouldn't worry. But I do. Cindy, should I?
I don't know what to make of that survey, frankly. His jersey initially was being burned by fans, 49ers fans, and then the sales skyrocketed there for a couple of weeks. It was the top-selling jersey in the NFL. So my take on the poll is it just shows how polarized everyone is about everything. You know, Kaepernick can still have one of the top-selling jerseys, and then you can poll people and people hate him. We're in a weird, weird time right now.
I would love to see a Venn diagram of sort of Donald Trump supporters and the people who answered, you know, Colin Kaepernick's my least favorite player. I'm not even sure it would be a diagram. I think it might just be one circle. And there was another poll this week that I think shows us a little bit. It was a Yahoo YouGov poll, and it said 44% of about 1,000 fans who were surveyed said they would stop watching NFL games if protests like Kaepernick's continue. Now, we had a little piece on this at Vice Sports, and the headline read, Yahoo survey shows 44% of fans would stop watching NFL games, comma, and are liars, which basically sums up how I see this. Over and over and over, there are all these sort of off-field controversies that give you plenty of good reasons to turn off a television if you really wanted to. People don't turn off the television. They like football.
Maybe there should be a rule against surveys. My guests for this week's Three Stories You Should Know have been Patrick Ruby of Vice Sports and Cindy Boren of The Washington Post. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.